This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I mean, I do know that number. You do know I number every single show that we do.
So what number?
Do you want to guess? You want to guess what today's is? I want to know if you're anywhere close to accurate or if you're off. And this is only when we officially started doing it together,
like the first week of November, right? So like 6 years ago.
It might as well have been.
Yeah. I'll go 63 shows.
That's incredible. He hit it right on
serious?
The number. Not even Price is Right. You just won the showcase.
All right.
Now, Mac,
don't
verify
mess with
right,
me
here.
Right now.
I
man.
Swear to God, Mac, what is the number on the top of my computer right there?
Show 63?
I can't
that
lose.
That was incredible. That
I
was
cannot
incredible.
Lose this week.
Showcase showdown. Bob Barker, Drew Carey, doesn't matter who it is. You won the grand prize.
I'm going downstairs to play the lotto. That was, between this and DeAndre Hunter, my vibes are through the roof.
You didn't even know I keep track of the numbers.
No
I did
idea.
It for the night show, too, by the way. I did the same thing for the night
How
show.
How made you top out
I like
night?
That. Well, the very end was around 372.
Oh, only. I would have guessed we were over 600 there.
No, because I did a lot of coming down to other shows and doing all that
true.
Stuff. And
that's
so then we just didn't count those days. You can only do it. The parameters are the same as it is for you, the same as it is at the night show, where it's like it had to be
just
that
you.
Setup.
And
yeah,
pure,
it had to be,
it
had to
it
be that setup. And for this one, it's only shows me and you have done as well. So like when you're gone, that doesn't count. Or I'm gone, obviously it doesn't count as well.
Okay. I don't know how to ask. This is not a judgmental question.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I started doing it for the night show because I was curious, and then it's just a tradition I have now. It's
okay.
Just something I kept doing.
I like it because it made me feel really smart in that moment. That's all we need to know.
Yeah, it was really good. No idea why I started doing it.
But kudos on Kobe Altman for his 47-minute press conference earlier today. I think that's, speaking of exactly on the dot, it started at 1, it went to, I think, about 147, so I'm right twice. I will say a lot of vibes talk. A lot of questions with the word vibes in it. A lot of Kobe using the word vibes.
A lot of drains and fountains conversation as well.
A fair amount.
You want to be a fountain, not a drain, Nick.
There were plenty of different references, but you kind of brought this up in the pre-show, and I think this is a fair question to start for Cavs fans. After the DeAndre Hunter trade, plus the 41-10 start, is this the best you felt about the Cavs since LeBron left? I actually want to start asking you that question, though.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like great moments and spots where you really do feel great. I think obviously the trade for Donovan is one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is the first real moment where I won't laugh you off and I won't think you're crazy if you think that there's NBA Finals expectations attached to this team. And that's why this is clearly, in my mind, the best moment since LeBron left.
I would go... actually getting over the hump and beating Orlando last year because we didn't know they could do that. Although that was like 80% sweet and about 20% bitter because you knew it shouldn't have taken that
seven games. And yeah. Darius vomited all over his shoes in that series and in game seven.
So did JB Bickerstaff.
And that's the other part of that, too, though, is you had JB, and you always knew there were limitations attached to JB.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have no limitations when it comes to Atkinson. I've never felt better than what I currently feel about with Kobe Altman, and everything is coming up Cavs.
Can I throw in when Evan actually fell into your lap 4 years ago?
It's a nice moment.
Because great moment. I mean, Cade Cunningham's a really great player. He's showing that this year.
Yeah.
Evan was the guy who was like, all right, at the time you had an undersized backcourt with Colin Sexton and Darius. So I was like, all right, you don't have a good wing. You don't have any size. Between that and the Jared Allen trade, like, well, that's another one that was really good vibes, but it just didn't have the immediate payoff.
Nobody thought that Jared Allen could be this Jared Allen either, though.
No,
that's a part of that.
Well, he was really good in Brooklyn.
He was really good, but it wasn't
this.
How much
Brooklyn Nets basketball did we watch before? We just knew his numbers.
And we all thought a lot of the numbers were empty calorie numbers, too, as well.
Well, like, there was a lot built on that. That was still the Kyrie and KD. He proved a little bit there. I don't know why I'm defending him in Brooklyn. The point is, it's this in the Donovan move for me. I mean, it is like when they traded for Donovan, it was such a holy you-know-what kind of move that everyone had been saying New York. And it felt like the Cavs had been used as like a teaser of like, don't you do it. If you don't give us what we want, we will trade Donovan to Cleveland. So help us God. And then so help us God came and we got Donovan. Like that was... I mean, even now, like looking back, this is probably a slightly revisionist history. In the moment, it felt bigger than the Kevin Love trade because the Kevin Love trade was the second biggest move to getting LeBron himself. Like that move in and of itself felt like you will define the post Cavs with LeBron, or sorry, the post LeBron Cavs 2.0, either good or bad on that trade.
Yeah. But even up until Jalen Brunson took off, though, we still lived in the back of our minds. And then that's why the extension this offseason was so awesome, is because the moment we landed Donovan, people were already starting to put the time down until when we lost Donovan to New York.
Yeah. And so maybe it starts with Donovan. But I think the reason why it's because it's not just about the DeAndre Hunter trade. It's this season feels like the culmination of 7 years since LeBron left.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like a culmination of the ticking clock since you traded for Donovan.
Yeah.
And so there's two different ways to look at this. So much, before I left in 2018, so much of my analysis of the Cavs was, it's not that I didn't want to give Dan Gilbert credit for bringing the first championship since 1964 to Cleveland, but it was like, well, you got LeBron.
People just acted like that was supposed to happen because it's LeBron.
When you've had a decade of LeBron, I mean, thank you for spending the money, but it felt like, how can I grade you when you walked into an organization 2 years into LeBron or a year and a half of LeBron being in Cleveland?
It's why people thought Ty Lue was a bad basketball coach until he went elsewhere and showed that he isn't.
I kudos to Dan Gilbert. And kudos to Kobe Altman and now Kenny Atkinson. Like, this thing, it had felt like a work in progress. And that was really frustrating because when you traded for Donovan, Donovan was supposed to be, all right, you're ascending now just by virtue of trading for Donovan. And then there were 2 years of growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you outgrew the head coach. You might have outgrown the head coach the second you traded for Donovan. But there were growing pains. And much like a lot of success in life, you just had this push and pull of, good God, like, is it going to happen?
And even within that, Nick, nobody knew whether or not it was all going to work out. I mean, again, think about how many times we discussed and went over the core four in and of itself. People are like, oh, it makes my eyes bleed watching that backcourt.
So I will say that's probably something we should throw in there, Donovan re-signing in Cleveland. That actually probably felt better than the trade itself. Now that just thinking about it.
See, but there was still so much wonderment what this team was going to eventually be, even with the extension. The extension was great in so many different ways, and that solidified the fact that you knew this team wouldn't suck, which I do think is a massive point. But the idea that Atkinson has shown what he's able to show, so you know you have a head coach that's worth it all, and the idea that you just fine-tuned everything you needed to, and Darius is back to being Darius, and maybe they do eventually break up the core four if they can't get it done, but it doesn't feel that way right now. This is as good as you could possibly feel in my mind.
Well, and this is a two-parter, though. Like, the DeAndre Hunter trade, if you were 29 and 21 and the Pacers, who sit fourth in the Eastern Conference, I don't know the vibes are as immaculate as they are today.
Right.
But, like, because you are 41 and 10, you've got a realistic chance. I mean, you got a 5.5-game lead up on Boston. Yeah, there's 31 games to go, but that's a hell of a lead at any point in the season for the number one seed, and you traded for the thing. Like, there's a part of me that wondered last year at the deadline. All right, are you not making the trade for that player? Or mm-hmm. even this year, if you weren't going to trade the core four, getting that wing player, are you not making that move because maybe you're not all in yet with what you have situated?
Right.
And that was mostly about the head coach. That was mostly about maybe we don't want to give up that extra asset in case Donovan does want to leave, that kind of stuff. And then this felt like a stamp of approval from Dan Gilbert, from Kobe. All right, we're ready. We're ready to compete. And you said something earlier in the segment. It feels like the Cavs are ready. For the first time, I've actually considered the Cavs can win an NBA championship.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like. And yeah. That's what it's felt like since almost 24 hours ago, 25 hours ago when the DeAndre Hunter news was put out there.
Yeah, and you're right to point out it's not just having DeAndre Hunter, but it's the idea that even within this trade, Kobe Altman just continued to showcase why he should be considered a good GM in the NBA. I mean, like, this is not – like, it's funny. We listened to the whole press conference, or the majority of the press conference. It was very long.
Yeah.
And it was like one of the questions was like, do you feel like you fleeced Atlanta? And Kobe wouldn't go down that road and just flat out say it because that's not what GMs do. But across the board, everyone acted like, oh my gosh, the Cavs got one over on Atlanta. It's not even close. Like, it was so ingenious of them.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. Cavs do have the Wizards tonight. That should be about a 40-point win. That team is stink going crap, but...
It's a bad Friday night game, by the way. What are you giving us the Wizards on Friday night?
But no DeAndre Hunter, no Okoro, no Dean Wade. I don't know that Donovan's going to play. I think he was doubtful or questionable earlier today. You still shouldn't need any of those guys.
No,
you should
at all.
Be just fine.
Yeah.
I would like to point out, I teased Danny Cunningham, who I found out this morning went to Washington to cover this game. And I was like, what are
you doing?
He went
to Washington?
Yeah. And so...
Did he just want to see the nation's capital? Is that what happened?
Well, I think he, too, was caught up in the vibes. He's like...
Never seen the Lincoln Monument or what's going on here?
Well, I think it's, I want to cover the team after this trade and be in the locker room, and there's going to be some good questions he can ask. But I remember just being like, they got games after Washington.
Out of all the trips, my guy.
If you haven't seen the White House, you should definitely go there. You don't need to watch the Wizards play basketball tonight. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Robert saying he should get a pizza and bring it in for me because I guessed 63 correctly. I agree. Go Cavs. Chip saying 63. Seriously, that's amazing. You nailed that.
That was incredible.
You know your reputation precedes you when you get something right and people are like, good for him.
Aww.
Look at that. Aww. Look at Nick Wilson finally fulfilling some of that promise. We do have quick hits coming up at 2:40 today. A lot of really fun stuff there. Tom Kelly, WIP night show host. Night show to night show hosts. We're going to get into his feelings on the Philly side of the Super Bowl. Joe Varden, formerly of Cleveland, formerly of the Plain Dealer. He's now the Athletics NBA reporter. We'll get his read on the DeAndre Hunter trade, how much difference that makes. But is this the best you've felt about the Cavs since LeBron left the second time? And there's a far greater risk to the Cavs' chemistry, but the rewards could be phenomenal, and my good vibes will allow it in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I will say, this is not why I liked it, but one of the themes of Kobe Altman's press conference today was mirroring some of the things we've said about the impact of the DeAndre Hunter trade, which is that this is a move that is for the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have time to reclaim any chemistry that might have been altered by trading Caris LeVert and George Niang. So this is the time to make that trade, and you've got plenty of runway to do that. And then, you know, we kind of got into some of the facts about what he brings offensively and what they think they can get out of him defensively. Like, you couldn't draw up a better fit on paper. And part of this is, like, a year ago, they make this trade, and I love the trade. And then I probably spend April, May, and probably just mostly May complaining about, like, a guy like DeAndre Hunter's usage within, like, an offense. I don't have to worry about that now.
Right.
Like, Kenny Atkinson, I think, is really smart about defining specific roles and going from there. And so it's not just vibes are up. Like, I was thinking about this today. Yesterday, we talked about the Ben Simmons rumor, and apparently he's finalizing the buyout in Brooklyn, and the Cavs are one of three teams. I think it's the Clippers, and I can't remember the third team that are
Houston
that are talking to him about signing him as a buyout candidate. And initially yesterday, you saw my face. It was not great.
Yeah, in fact, that's why I went so hard to be like, listen, it's just a buyout guy. Don't worry about it. Let's not ruin the day. It's a good day.
Well, the more I thought about it, Ben Simmons as a secondary creator off the bench is something you don't have because you traded Karras. I know Ty Jerome could do some of that. I know Sam, like they've got a couple guys, but Ben Simmons is a legit NBA creator. And he's also like, he's the rare kind of Swiss Army knife that can kind of be protection on the perimeter if you need it, playmaking if you need it. And as a backup big.
I mean, at his apex, Nick, and I'm not going to speak to the injured Ben Simmons. That might completely be different, but he could guard 1-5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and listen.
Incredibly valuable.
Listen, I think Ben Simmons is a far bigger concern to the chemistry than DeAndre Hunter is, right? Because some of the knocks on Ben, we don't know him. I don't think I've watched Ben play a lot of basketball this year or since his peak in Philadelphia. I haven't paid a lot of attention to him because it just hasn't been relevant.
He's had a lot of back injuries.
But I will say, like, the knock on him and the biggest question mark is, does the guy love basketball?
Yeah, does he care?
Yeah, that's the risk. You put a guy that doesn't care in this locker room and he will stick out like a sore thumb. I'm going to imagine that through any conversations the Cavs have with him, they're going to ascertain how serious he is, what he really envisions, and they're going to pitch to him a specific role. That's probably the 9th guy in the rotation in the regular season, and probably a guy who's like all right, we've got off to a bad start. We need to kind of change things. Let's throw Ben out there with like the second unit and see where it goes. And he'll have to play his way into more time in the postseason.
Yeah, the concern I would have, and I want to use basically what I think a Nick Wilson principle would be in having this discussion, okay?
Yeah, that's your fault for thinking I have principles.
Well, so we what do we know? We know that he is obviously very tall, 6'10".
Yeah. Well done.
Very good. Very tall.
Yeah.
But we know that he struggled with his mental health, yeah. And we know that he's had a lot of back issues.
Also Australian.
The question about whether or not he cares is a real deal.
Uh-huh.
So for someone that's made $200 million, this is where your principle comes in. For someone that's made $200 million, is he going to have a give a damn? Like, is he going to care enough to make the $1 million to come play for the Cavs and potentially just get sparing minutes off the bench?
I think that's a great question. I think in every situation, I think the most important thing to Ben is, like, what do you want out of this? Because if Ben starts out at the back end of the bench and plays his way farther up the ranks, the reward could be really immense. And I know the concern is always, can he score enough to stay on the court in the postseason? I'm going to catch 22 you, because I think there's a balance between how good of defense he can play and specifically, can he body up, and he should be able to. Guys like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, I think he could also give a guy like Al Horford some fits for some of the things he can do stylistically. Like,
I mean, you got to use very specific times when you use him,
yes.
Though, because like one of the big knocks on him is they try to turn, you know, Evan Mobley has graduated into more three-point attempts, and maybe we'll get there one day where he's more than just 2 3-point attempts a game.
It's three, by the way. It is three.
I shorted him one. You're right. I did short him one. But
put some respect on him.
But the point is that in Brooklyn, they were pleading with him just to go outside and shoot 1 3-pointer, and he wouldn't do it. He just refused to do it. He's like, no, I'm not. It's not going to happen. And so when you use him, you have to use him with the idea that you're going to clog up the paint. Like, it's going to be a reality. But he can guard anybody. And so defensively, I think he could. There's value there, Nick.
Yeah, and listen, this is, I think, the most important. And I think the Cavs are smart enough. If he gets in the building and there's any sign that his give-a-damn is busted, he'll be gone. Like, the Cavs, I think this is where we do have to trust the Cavs of – They're not beholden to if Ben Simmons comes in 10 games in and he just doesn't have it, doesn't care, whatever.
Yeah.
Just throw him out on the street and find another buyout candidate.
I think, Nick, the lack of pressure on him is going to be great, because I think that's where he really melted down, is having so much pressure on himself and feeling like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders. And in this, the Cavs aren't dependent on Ben Simmons to win a title or lose a title. And I think in those moments, people like that, he can shine. It's just whether or not you know, he wants to care for $1 million when he's made $200 million.
Well, and listen, if I'm saying this about, you know, the risk of DeAndre Hunter is he going to know his role in the offense? Is he going to be comfortable? And is he, you know, like, if you're Kenny Atkinson, you're going to have to go to DeAndre and say, you're our stopper, and that's what I want of you. And the faith that I have in that with Kenny is he did that with Karras. Look at Karras and how good defense. Karras was taking on some matchups this year that in previous years we were not getting out of Karras. And he was, listen, there are some advantages that he just doesn't have in those matchups, and he still was giving you quality defensive minutes. I'm going to go with a guy who's a little bit maybe more fit for the style of defense you want to play in the postseason. I'm going to go ahead and say he's going to be able to do that with DeAndre Hunter. So if I feel confident about, all right, he's going to give you the role of, he's going to give DeAndre Hunter the role, I feel the same thing about Ben Simmons. And I kind of think, again, it's one of those things where if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Right, and you just move on. It is what it is.
And if it does work out, like, I don't think it's hyperbolic to say.
Then Atkinson's going to be the basketball whisperer.
Yeah, well, and Ben Simmons will have an NBA career next year.
Yeah,
I don't know he would have that if, for where things are right now.
That's what he's got to be playing for. But again, we don't even know if that's something that even appeals to him. Again, the Nick Wilson principle, $200 million. You just don't have to care anymore, right?
Is that
the dividing line, $200 million?
Do you know the last time Ben Simmons, I had to make sure because I said this to the kid at Starbucks today, who's like the biggest Cavs fan.
You throwing some takes out there
for the kid
at Starbucks?
No, he
is he your warm up?
No, he actually
your
always
your bullpen session.
He always engages me in Cleveland sports. I have no idea. He's a really young kid. I have no idea if he knows who I am. But we just talk Cavs, and he's like, hey, today he's like, hey, my favorite customer.
Wow, you got a favorite customer. Now, does he reward you for being the favorite customer?
No, not at all. That's how I know he doesn't know me, because when people know Nick Wilson, they're like, this guy
not
likes
even
things
that way.
On the cheap.
I mean, like, cool thing about being a favorite customer is you get some freebies from time to time. Starbucks is a place that they'll do that, by the way. They'll give you freeze. They'll give you
free.
They can keep it moving through the line without ringing it up.
We're not there yet, but I think we're building there. But
okay.
I said this. You know, Ben hasn't attempted a three-point shot. Attempted, not made.
Yeah, no, he's scared to do it. He won't do it.
Since 2022.
He's publicly talked about them wanting to, they wanted him to be a three-point shooter, and he's like, I think I'm bad at that. I don't want to do it. He basically got scared off of shooting three-pointers.
I understand, and it's reasonable that every...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan out there has some sort of brand fear. They look at the brand that is Ben Simmons and go, I don't want that anywhere near my team.
And that's more Jenner and the Jenner stuff, is it not?
No,
not the TMZ nonsense.
I think it's more about $200 million for a guy that has done diddly squat since 2021.
He went from NBA All-Star to being an absolute bust. But yeah. Somewhere in between there, people got circus in their head.
Yeah, I would say it's the year he sat out. Or was injured, however you want to frame that one. But this goes back to, this is where this is the best I've felt about the Cavs since LeBron left, right? That I look at this and I go, okay, I get playmaking, defensive advantage on both the perimeter and interior.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see him having a role, not a huge role, but that dude has one, this is the real principle. If he has one game in the playoffs where he makes a difference, that might be the difference between you going to the NBA Finals or winning a title or not. Like, that's how much singular guys, the 8th, 9th, 10th guys, the Dante Jones of it all, like, those guys only need to make an impact in one game in a positive sense, and they win.
Well, and the reality is that if the Ben Simmons or the Ben Simmons, whoever that ends up becoming, whoever the buyout is, the reality is probably not going to have much of an impact in the playoffs anyway.
Well, again, one game is a huge impact role player.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition anyway, because a lot of these teams just play 8 guys. That's what makes the Cavs so interesting, is because we don't know how deep they're going to go into their bench in the postseason anyway.
I think Kenny Atkinson, because people keep saying, well, you only play 8 guys. Yeah, but you don't play the same 8 guys every night. You do cycle through 7, 8, 9, 10 in different series, and one of the things I'm selling Ben Simmons just because I think it's a brilliant buy low.
It's a buy low, and you might have a lot of reward at the end.
Yeah, and that lot of rewards.
And if you don't, it's not the end of the world either.
The lot of rewards specifically comes in series against Boston and New York, which I think are the only two real threats to you so far this year. 216-474-0092. Is this the best you felt about the Cavs since LeBron left? And he's the Browns quarterback of today and maybe a superstar of the future. And leads off quick hits in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Little news to pass along. Darius Garland in the three-point competition. We like this.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, this is a good year. Like, most of my, do I want them in all-star competitions? Do I want them to get Player of the Year awards? Most of that is driven off the bit. Are they good? Are they, like, really good? Have they upset me? And the Cavs, like I said, vibes are immaculate.
Some good names, the three-point contest. Do you like it better than the slam dunk contest at this point, where it's a bunch of no-name people, even though they're good at dunking?
Yes, and it's not about the no-names. It's about the dunks are just stupid.
We just ran out of good dunks.
Yeah, no, we're just like, all right, what if I jump off a Mountain Dew truck while punching a stripper in the midsection, and then I land and immediately go number 2 on the court? Like that, like the level of, it's like 3-step
dunks.
Well,
I would watch that dunk, though. That one seemed pretty, that was layered.
If anybody wants to use that one, I will take a 20% finder fee.
What happened to jumping over a Kia?
That feels like a Mac McClung move, if we're being real.
That'd be a shame if he missed it, and then he has to go for it again.
The stripper? I think we want him to miss that in that instance. Yeah. I think he said he was punching the stripper in the stomach.
Yeah, maybe it's more like a fake out on the
kind of root for him to miss there. I mean, my goodness,
that'd be a good time to cue quick hits
from the latest news and rumors around the sports world.
Go Angel, Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear.
Hurry, hurry!
It's quick hits.
Browns quarterback Jameis Winston is the talk of Super Bowl week for his role with Fox Sports Digital. He was on Radio Row earlier this week. Here he is driving a gondola around Nolens while crooning.
I believe I can drive this by. I think about it every night and day. Just almost ran up a horse today. I believe I can soar. You see me riding through an open door. I believe I can bike. I believe I can bike. I believe I can bike.
What a deeply unserious human being. Is Jameis better at this? Not biking. Is he better at the media stuff than he actually is at quarterbacking?
I don't think he's great at this. He's just funny. He's yes, very funny. But
that
he's
good.
But it's such a way where anytime you're done listening to him, you're like, what exactly did he say? Wait, he made no sense. He just does it in such a funny way.
Yeah, which I'll...
It's like Theo Vaughn.
I'll take.
My guy, Theo Vaughn. I like him, but he makes zero sense when he speaks, but then at the end of it, you're still laughing.
I would prefer whatever the hell you call what Jameis does, as opposed to like the, honestly, I'm just going to take the shot. Tom Brady in the booth where he's just like, you know, there, it's like a ChatGPT. I'm just going to say things. He doesn't espouse his own opinions. He just spits out whatever he's heard or people have told him about the team. Annoys the living hell out of me. At least this is funny.
Yeah, but is Jameis funny for 3 hours?
No. That's why you don't
put him. You need bite-sized moments of Jameis.
He's like Caliendo.
Yeah.
Right? If you just give him, or Rob Riggle. Right? Don't give him the whole pregame show. Just give him a 3-minute slice here.
A little bit.
I'd rather this than Kyle Brandt doing the inside football thing of, here's the three kind of conversations you're going to have if you're a media member at the Super Bowl. Really? Because no one can relate to that, Kyle. Oh, this is just like my job in accounting.
Omaha!
Sorry.
You're so agitated.
It keeps circulating, and then there's another media jag being like, this is so true. That's exactly my three conversations. It's so funny.
Ross Tucker really liked it.
Exactly.
Ross really liked it. That's your guy. All right. So last night, it was Snoop Dogg. By the way, Nikki Glaser did pop up at the NFL Honors Awards.
Of course she did.
She just pops up at every award show. If there's an award show to be made,
it's a cheat code.
She's there. And so Snoop Dogg made this joke that seemed like the joke of the night. Here we go.
Because I've been a football fan for a long, long time. I mean, I remember back when the Cowboys was good. I remember back when the Chiefs was bad. And I remember, what was it? Bill Belichick's girlfriend wasn't even born yet.
Snoop loved it. Snoop loved it. You hate it. Snoop loved it. Did you see Bill Belichick's girlfriend on the carpet? She had the Super Bowl ring that was given to her by Bill, and she was wearing basically nothing.
I've never been more basically convinced nothing. That she's just in this for the love of Bill.
Yeah, it was a bad look for the idea that there was, because Bill tried to sell it like they connected deeply, had some sort of big bond and everything.
Downtown.
Yeah. That's what everyone thought after that. It definitely seemed like a business relationship.
The picture of him and her, it looked like a dad who had a kid late in life taking his college daughter to homecoming.
More like granddaughter.
Probably granddaughter. And it skeeved me out on both fronts. Like, it skeeved me out that Bill looked like he was straight out of 1972 from the style perspective. And then it skeeved me out that she's just like full on, look how glamorous I am. And I'm like,
there was a part of me that always wanted to believe that they like bonded over some deep intellectual level or something like that. And it just tossed that completely out.
What part of you specifically? Was it your left toe?
I read one article once about how they met on an airplane and they bonded over all of this, like, again, deeply philosophical levels. And then she dresses like a thought. And
they're reading Kierkegaard together. That's what's going on.
Listen, I was hopeful, Nick. I was hopeful.
She better change his nappies in about 10 years when it's time.
Oh.
Ed Kelsey was on with Baskin and Phelps earlier today. Always a highlight to hear Ed on the show. He commented he can't wait to see his son. I was taking a shot at Baskin and Phelps. He commented he can't see his son wanting to play for another team and will stay with the Chiefs as long as they want him. Are you watching Sunday as if it could be Travis's final NFL game?
I'm thinking it is the final NFL game. I don't see a world where Travis Kelsey plays another one. This postseason was kind of what did it in my mind. He had one good game against the Texans. It was really one good half against the Texans, and then he basically no-showed in the AFC title game. I think this is it for Kelsey.
I don't want to say he looks washed. He's a functional tight end. This is not who he was. And he's 35 years old. He's got Tay-Tay. You've done everything you can do in football. You get the three-peat. You're going to the Hall of Fame by far. The three-peat probably gives you the slight advantage over Gronk for greatest tight end ever. You don't need to keep playing.
Sometimes the key in life, Nick, is looking around and noticing the party is happening, and it's you're not there too late. And it feels like if he's staying on this thing, he might be staying, and it'd be the 11 o'clock hour of this party, and he needs to go.
If, like, 3 years from now, he's like a 100-yard-a-season tight end, and he's still celebrating Super Bowls the way he did.
And doing his singing.
The AFC. Okay. 2 years ago, it was awesome, right? The Beastie Boys. This year, he went to, like, 80s pop music, and I'm like, you're going to be, like, crooning like it's the 1950s in, like, 3 years, and you're going to be a geriatric football player, and it won't be great.
Omaha!
Happy birthday, Shador Sanders. Now, the thing I want to talk about within this, not just letting everyone know that it's Shador Sanders' birthday, Dion went to Twitter, and I think he was out of pocket. He said, happy birthday to my favorite son. Dion doesn't have just one son.
Mm-hmm. He's got about five of them, I think.
He's got one very successful son, it looks like. But that's... You're a dad of three. I'm a dad of one. I only have one to choose from. Is it out of pocket to just outwardly choose your favorite?
I mean, Dion has done this pretty consistently. He's got like a running kids ranking. And I think it's the most questionable, objectionable thing I've ever heard from any parent ever.
Like, you're not supposed to say it, right? Like,
there is just being totally withholding.
You can have a golden child.
And then there's totally being on the opposite side of this. It's one thing. Like, my dad used to call me the golden child, the golden one. And it was like a funny joke. There was some truth to it, but there was a funny joke. My mom's never come out with all of her children around and been like, you know, Nick, this is why you're my favorite. Why? Because it'd make you a bad parent. All right? And I really do. Like, every day, I have a favorite, but it's dependent on the day.
It changes, right?
Like, some days, it's like, man, me and Livy really had a great day today. And so it's more, oh, we just had a great moment together. But, like, the idea that you would sit down and be like, you know, the last 6 months, Sophia's really fallen down the rankings, but... Izzy's holding fast at one. That would just be so... That's just so weird.
It just sounds problematic.
Sounds like a bad parent. A little problematic.
Ranking your children. You can do it in your head, though, right? You can do it in your head. You just don't voice that, right?
I don't do that. No.
I don't know. I don't know the rules. I only have one.
Actually, it would hurt me to hurt them just by thinking that.
Really?
Or ever thinking in that way. Yeah.
I mean, but if one just clearly is the favorite.
Because
you have kids doesn't mean they're all delightful. You seem like you have three delightful kids.
Yeah. Well, look at their father.
There clearly is. There are just some people out there. It's like, man, I just didn't do a great job here.
Yeah, and that's on you. So you should, like, relegate yourself, not your children. All right. The reverberations of... Yeah, I think I'm going to do this one. The reverberations of the Luka AD trade are still being felt around the NBA, and Ali LaForce was a sideline reporter for the Mavs-Celtics game on TNT last night with a word of caution as the Mavs prepare to return home.
And Kidd told us just moments ago, he believes Anthony Davis does have the shoulders to carry this load. One big concern, though, is just the safety of the players, the front office, going back to Dallas. We hope fans make the wise decision and remember that this is a game and that lives are far more important.
Am I the only one who found this incredibly out of left field and melodramatic?
Wait, did someone die or something? What am I missing here?
I really don't know.
The lives are that much more important. But like, did I miss part of the report?
Yeah, fans are really mad. Is there something, Mac, do you know of anything I'm missing?
I think that they were basically cautioning against retaliation from fans against the front office.
Listen, we have any credible threats here? This feels like another reason. Like, this is like preemptive melodrama that, like... If so, like, why do you feel like the need to say this after this trade? Yes, it was the most shocking trade in NBA history. But, like, what, are the fans going to boo him extra hard? Like, what are we expecting for the Mavericks going back home?
I heard Tim Bontemps on a podcast today compare it to when the Browns left Cleveland.
Okay.
I wanted your thoughts on that.
I want Tim Bontemps to shut up.
I just want your thoughts on that.
Tim Bontemps.
I'd like to hear your thoughts.
If those are exactly Tim Bontemps' thoughts, I would equate them to the thoughts of an ass clown. Now, I'm not saying Tim Bontemps is an ass clown because I don't know Tim. I'm just saying if he uttered those words compared a player as great as he is, I mean, top five player in the NBA right now, to a team being ripped out of the town by a guy who had been here for 31 years. That's a bad comparison.
I'm just happy to have your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I'm not saying Tim is one of those. I'm just saying if somebody has that take, that's the take of an ass clown. Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
You really, that really pissed me off. Just hearing that.
No, I knew it
like,
would.
Now I'm like really mad. I don't want to go to break. No, Mac, I don't want to go to break now. I don't want to go to break. I want to just completely crap all over Tim Bontemps or anyone who would say something like that, not saying Tim Bontemps said that because I haven't heard it myself. What's the confidence level Philly can beat the Chiefs team? Well, Tom Kelly. I almost called him Tim. Tom Kelly, WIP Night Show host, tells us that in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.